We end on a high at Easter, and now we're going to talk about Job, and we're down here. But trust me, we'll get there. To give you a summary of Job before we read the scripture for today, Job is a man of goodness, righteousness. He's blameless. One of those people that God points out and says, I like Job. He does good work. But Satan comes along one day and challenges God and says, I bet I could turn your most faithful servant, Job, against you. Just give me permission, and I'm going to do some things so he can turn against you. So Job has an attack on his character. His livestock, children, and servants die. He loses his home. And on top of all that, he gets a disease and gets these skin sores on himself. A lot is happening to Job. All seems lost. He's kind of in a dark and stormy place. And then we come to our scripture for today, which is Job 2, 11 through 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all these troubles that had come upon him, each of them set out from his home. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. God, sometimes Bible words are hard to say. They met together to go and counsel and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him, and they raised their voices and wept aloud. They tore their robes and threw dust in the air upon their heads. They sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. On the morning of September 11, 2001, I was getting ready for school, and promise not to roll your eyes, but I was in seventh grade, all right? And I was getting ready for school, and I was waiting for the bus to come pick me up, and I remembered I had current events that day for the history class. And I said, shoot, I need to get that. So I turned on the TV, and there was my current event happening in real time. I'm sure you all know where you were that morning. It's a very vivid morning for most of us, that we knew where we were when it happened. Kind of one of those traumatic times in the collective consciousness of America. Now, there's a guy named Makoto Fujimara. He's a writer and painter and artist. He lived 3 blocks away from the Twin Towers on that morning, and his kids went to a school near the towers. On his way to work that day, he took the subway, and all of a sudden the subway started to backtrack at least 14 blocks. And let him out. And as he got out of the subway, he said there was dust in the subway coming through the tunnels. There's terror, chaos, and confusion. And he didn't know where his wife and kids were because his wife was still at home, as far as he knew, and his kids were still at school. As he got off the subway, he had a voicemail on his phone from his wife saying they were okay, they had evacuated, and by the time he got out of the subway station, the towers had fallen. This was a time where everything seemed like it was lost, a dark and stormy time for many of us, including Makoto. Now, in the days following and the weeks following September 11, we were all mourning together, that we didn't have the right words to say, so we just held each other, we listened to each other, we listened to the stories. We joined together in solidarity as the American people. Then, as we like to do, we try to explain evil, pain, and suffering. Some people started to say, well, this is just because we've been so involved in the Middle East and we've created so much turmoil there. This is just retaliation to that. Others try even to create conspiracy theories as an inside government job. And then yet there was people who used God to try and explain it. That God was angry with America for the ways in which our culture was turning. And said that this was a warning from God. They tried to explain the suffering and pain and tried to use God as a way to correct things they wanted corrected. Because I think some people believe that God wouldn't punish a nation if it was good for no reason. So what does this have to do with Job? Our scripture today speaks of Job suffering and his friends saw it. They came to him, they sat with him 7 days and seven nights. They mourned with him. Job's friends had the right idea when they arrived. Then later in the book, they opened their mouths. Eliphaz, this is kind of what he says later on in the book. He says, can I say something? I don't want to offend, but I really need to say something. From what I have seen, is that those who create trouble suffer the consequences. Bildad says, God's justice is right. If you sinned against God or your children have, then this is the punishment for it. If you are as pure as you say you are, this wouldn't have happened. Zophar said, your guilt deserves punishment. Eliphaz jumped in again, saying, you are undermining God and faith. Your suffering and complaining of it is not helping you get right with God. These are not helpful things to hear for Job during his time of darkness and of storm. These are the worst moments of his life. He hurts already, but his friends are not helping. This type of help that they're trying to give is helping when it hurts. Now, they're good guys. They want to help Job. They're trying. But their theology tells them that if God is just, then suffering must be the evidence that Job has done something wrong towards God. Because God wouldn't punish a good person for no reason. They make the mistake of putting their own theology ahead of compassion and care of their friend. And I believe in our tragic moments in life, sometimes we do this. 9/11, it happened. Any tragedy kind of happens when we start to try and explain what went wrong. Makoto, who we talked about earlier, who lived near Ground Zero, talked about how in the coming weeks he had this post-traumatic experience from 9/11, and he describes this as Ground Zero moments. And I think Job is having Ground Zero moment in our scripture. And we all have Ground Zero moments. They're small or large-scale, they're visible or invisible, private or public. Maybe it's unforeseen diagnosis, car accidents, estranged family, miscarriages, financial ruin. We can't say we are human without adding some of the things we have gone through in our life, the suffering and the pain. And sometimes we react negatively when someone comes around who seems like they have a perfect life and they have it all together, right? Once you go away from talking with them, you're like, God, they feel a little fake, don't they? Because we know that everybody has something they've gone through, that our lives aren't perfect, that we've suffered and have gone through pain. Suffering and grief can change us forever in a way that we will never be the same once we have been touched by it. Oswald Chambers once said, "Suffering is an opportunity to unlearn things that are not true." These ground zero moments that we have strip us of all our unnecessary worries in life. So those moments when we think, "I shouldn't have gotten so upset about that, that doesn't mean anything," strips us of all of that and brings us back to our fundamental core of humanity, humility, and love. And that is what we need in those moments of our ground zeros the most from others, humility and love. Going back to Makoto, he talks of his experience returning to their apartment 2 months after 9/11. He said they walked into their apartment and he could see the gap where the towers used to be. It felt like a gash in the sky. There was smoke still smoldering. There were still firefighters and rescue crews searching through the rubble. It was still there. And he says, "I thought in this moment the silence of God, that it felt like God either wasn't listening or just wasn't there." Where was God? Where was God on 9/11? Where was God in your ground zero moments? In the midst of pain and suffering, it can feel easy to question, where is God? Because grief and suffering and loss changes our relationship with God. When we grieve, we experience God differently. And this difference may cause us to think that maybe God isn't there because we're not experiencing him the same way as we usually do. Or maybe that God just isn't helping in this season of pain. Maybe my faith isn't strong enough because it's wavering. Maybe you're familiar with this experience of God. Silence. When everything seems to be spinning out of control, you can't see or hear him. These are the times where we feel the most alone, right? Where it feels like we're the only one experiencing these things going on, these troubles, these ground zeros. But maybe God is doing something in the silence that we miss. Suffering and pain can be so isolating. Feeling alone like Job was, especially after his friends started opening their mouths, then he felt even more alone because now his friends are against him. But what if suffering and pain presents an opportunity to us? I want to kind of do a little experiment. Now, I know we're Presbyterians, so maybe we don't want to stand, so I'll just ask you to raise your hand when I ask a question, okay? So I'm going to ask, how many of you have been to Cancun, Mexico? Raise your hand. Now I know who all the partiers are at church. Raise your hand if you have seen the latest Fast and Furious movie. Good, good. I was going to question people's movie taste if a hand went up. I'm very proud of you guys. This, as a movie lover, I'm very proud. Now, I want you to raise your hand if in some way, whether it's a family member or friend or somebody you're very close to, that has ever been affected by cancer. That holds a different weight. Different weight than just being happy about fun things we've done. But in that moment, there's a sense of heaviness, a connection, empathy, compassion. It's something that unites us because we've all experienced it. What this experiment did of showing how many of us are affected by something says, me too. We're united. We're connected in a deeper level. Suffering can unite us. That's what we saw in those first days and weeks of 9/11. In the first moments when Job's friends arrive. In his book, Drops Like Stars, Rob Bell says this: it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, or black or white, or right or left, or young or old, if you have the same disease as someone else, or if you both have a daughter with an eating disorder, or have a brother in jail, or had a spouse die, or recently were fired, you have a bond that transcends whatever differences you have. That's what suffering does. It unites. That's why therapy is so powerful. That's why grief ministries are so powerful. Because you're joined with people who are listening and people who know at a deep level what you're going through. There's an opportunity in pain and suffering to connect to others, to unite. It's more powerful than connecting or uniting over owning a Mercedes. In the following months after 9/11, Makoto went and visited sites in Japan, his home country, of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where the U.S. had dropped atomic bombs in World War II. What he experienced was unforgettable searing of mind and heart with a greater trauma than the one he was going through. It seemed to unite his heart and mind with over generations and over time that he could not understand at the moment. These ground zero moments seemed to connect him to his current tragedy in New York. It's those moments that we realize that in order to unite, to connect in those moments of tragedy and pain and suffering, we need to humble ourselves and listen. Put aside our own theology of what we think God may or may not be doing because of what someone may or may not have done. Don't let your own anxieties and insecurities get in the way of comforting someone, because that's what Job's friends did. That's what some people did after 9/11. Listen, be empathetic. Don't wait for someone who is in pain to let you know what they need. Bring something to them that helped you through a hard time. Don't try and explain logically of why something's happening or why they're in the state they are. And I think back to our sermon series in the fall of half-truths, and I think some of this came up then, but some of the things we say that are with good intention but don't seem to help in these times are things like, God has a reason for this. God is trying to teach a lesson. God wouldn't give you more than you can handle. Don't be sad. It's better this way. God needed them in heaven more than God did on earth. Sometimes it's more healing and more helpful not to say anything, but to sit. Listen, care, and love. Humble yourself. Listen before speaking. Give care and love. Ultimately, in the end of the Job story, God speaks against Job's friends because he saw the hurt it was causing. Because it wasn't Job's fault. Their theology and their helping hurt Job. And then maybe in the midst of our seasons of suffering, we are being prepared for a new day. because there can't be resurrection without death. In the shadow of Easter, we are reminded that we love a God that came in human form of Jesus. That when Jesus was put to death, it was the divine in flesh and blood hanging on the cross, bloody, thirsty, and suffering. A God who still held the marks of suffering even when he was resurrected. A God who's not somewhere else, remote, detached, distant, but a God who's among us, feeling what we feel, aching how we ache, and suffering like us. That's why the symbol of the cross is a uniting symbol among Christians. It's a God who knows what we are going through. A God that says, me too. In the silence of pain and suffering, God speaks through our broken lives in our ground zeros. Jesus is our example for us to help in a way that does not hurt. To sit and walk through grief with others, to understand it in some way. Jesus shows us that the silence of God may not be silence after all. Maybe God is suffering with us and is calling us to connect with him and to connect with one another. Because suffering and pain are human. It's universal. We all understand what it's like to lose someone or something. Friends, let's understand and not always try to explain it. Let's not put our theology before compassion. Let us not be like Job's friends, but instead be the image of Christ to others in their time of need. Then we connect with God and with others in a different way. Connecting in a different way gives us new and sometimes profound perspectives on our human experience. And Job realized that through his suffering, that God still is more mysterious and loving than ever. In the end, Job connects with God in a different way through his suffering. And I think the story of Job can help us realize that we can connect in a different way with God in our ground zeros. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us the story of Job, that even through immense suffering and pain, when we feel like the silence is so deafening, that you are still there. You're working in our lives somehow. You're giving us opportunities to connect with one another, to unite together, to understand each other better. In our time as a New Hope family, we have some storminess, some chaos, some things we don't understand happening to loved ones right now. We pray that you'll give us the comfort and the guidance and the ability to sit and grieve with our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.